our Monday night conference hour, and we're just checking people in right now. So this is a simulcast between the telephone and the internet. So those of you that are listening, you'll figure it out as we go along. Let's see, who did I hear on the line earlier? Who would like to?
This is Mary Jo, Klamath Falls, Oregon.
Hi, Mary Jo.
Hi, Wynn.
And who else is there?
This is Andrea from Atlanta, Georgia.
Hi, Andrea.
Hi.
And who else is there?
Marianne in Chula Vista, California.
Okay. And who else is there? Okay. So, let's see, we got some silent people.
There are 6 participants in the conference.
So I welcome all of you who are the silent people. And my name is Wynn Free, and this is a laid-back hour that starts in chaos, which means that I don't have an agenda. And if all of you will forget your agendas, then we can spend an hour in what I call communion, connection, affinity, all those words. Who just came in?
Hi, this is Terry.
Hi, Terry.
Hi.
We missed you.
Well, I'm in a parking lot.
You're in a parking lot. This is an unusual show. We have one of our helpers, co-hosts, stars in a parking lot. Are you in the McDonald's parking lot?
No, but I'm about to go there.
Okay. So this will be broadcast to you live from Sedona and the McDonald's parking lot in Los Angeles. Okay? I want you to know she's not eating Big Macs. She's very healthy. they just have a good parking lot. Who else is on the line?
This is David from Sedona.
Hi, David.
Hi, Wynn. Hi, Terry.
Hi.
And Wayne, I heard Wayne.
Yep, you heard me.
And anyone else? David, is your wife in the background?
Yes, she is.
Now, her name is Pat, is it?
Yes.
Hi, Pat.
Hola.
Okay. All right. Well, anyone else check in? Okay.
All callers are muted.
One of the things I was thinking about, because every week I have to, those of you check in regularly, oftentimes we reiterate the same theme. And what is that theme? That, first of all, that I am in the middle of these communications with other realms. And second of all, that they're available to make a connection with you. And they tell us, they've told us that they're on this line and they're available to pay attention to people. But I always assume, it's a reasonable assumption, that because there's consciousness. Oh, I better turn on the tape recorder. Hang on.
To begin, this conference will now be recorded.
Okay. Because there's consciousness, it's in other realms, and because I say they're talking to me, that doesn't mean that you should want them to pay attention to you, because you don't know who they are. And why would you want to make a connection with something unless you were sure of who you were connecting with? So that's why so much of the story is important. because it's the backup. The credibility. Because there are negative forces in other realms, and just to say, okay, let's connect. You need to know what you're connecting to. And that's in life just as well. How many of you met somebody that they thought was a nice person, and then you got into a relationship with them, and 6 months down the line, you said, geez, I didn't even know this person. I didn't know they were like this. And, of course, once you get into something, it's kind of much more hard to get out of it, particularly if you got married and have kids. And sometimes it takes a while to figure out that that person doesn't understand you at all, and you don't understand them. And plus, you were better off before you had the relationship with them, but now you're kind of stuck. So that's why courtship is so important. And this call is perhaps part of a courtship. It's getting to know each other, getting to listen without believing, listen neutrally with an open mind, and decide if it's a relationship that you would choose to have. Now, it's not a relationship with me. I couldn't possibly have a relationship individually with each of the people that is moved by my material. Although I love people, and sometimes I feel people's needs, but I find that being on a personal level, friend to friend, is not really solving the problem. Because what people really want, or what I believe most of us want, is, first of all, we'd like to know that there's something that's trustworthy, that throughout history has been called God. We'd like to know that that's real. And in the past, the simple way of explaining it was about as best as people could understand. But that way, for most people today, people are too sophisticated for that, many of them. Although, if you happen to be a person that uses that as a cosmology and you have pure intent of heart, it will work. It will work just as good as what we say here, because it's not really different. It's just a different format. It would be like looking at a building and you call it the such-and-such corporation, which has thousands of employees. And most of the time when we think of corporations, we don't think of the thousands of employees. We think of, let's drink a Coca-Cola, or let's buy a Ford, or let's get a Honda. And so all you know is there's a huge structure, there's manufacturing plants, but you're not aware of all of those. You're just into the end result. And so it's a little bit like that with God, that if you can have the end result, it doesn't matter if you know the manufacturing plant, if you know the bureaucracy, the administrative offices, you know. But for many people, the simplistic idea of God is different. It's different than a Ford or a Pepsi-Cola, because with a Ford and with a Pepsi-Cola, you have something tangible that is physicalized that you can have, see, drive, drink, whatever. But when you're talking about the idea of God, you have something which is not physicalized. It's not tangible. It's invisible. So you can't see it. So that's why so many religions talk about the idea of faith, that if you believe there's a God, he'll show up. And there is some truth to that. Except the idea of faith, for most people, is the end result. And for the people that we're working with, faith is not the end result. Faith is the willingness to look at something, to investigate it, to study it. But eventually, if it's real, it'll have to show itself to you. You'll have to know that it's there. And that's my criteria. I don't believe things easily. If somebody said have faith, first of all, I'd have to have a reason to have faith. Why should I have faith? There's 500 different things that I could have faith in. Why should I have faith in your thing? Oh, because I like you, and maybe we could have a relationship. And if I believed in what you believed in, maybe we would be partners. Is that a reason? Well, I guess it's a reason. But I think most people either have their belief system set up because they were born into it, or they like somebody on a personal level that attracts them to it. Probably the best reason is because they walk into a church and they feel a really high vibe there. That means I can feel the energy, so I wonder what that is. But that's probably not the reason that most people join a church. It's because it's the one that, probably the main reason is that we're born into it. And there's no reason why that particular doctrine or cosmology has anything over another one. It's just they were born into it. Most people don't really put their own belief system to a test. And in fact, once they develop a community and a social structure and people they know, well, that's probably very important, more appealing than actually figuring out who God is, because in the worldly sense, being in a church, being in a community, is a good thing. It's a people of high intention of some sort, and they look out for each other. And that's certainly positive on this planet, to have a group that does that. And if you've found yourself in a group like that, the chances are you're not going to open yourself up to anything that would put that in jeopardy or challenge the belief systems of that group. So this is probably why most people, the ones that are left, have religions. And they stop there. So in this particular call, in this particular group, there's something else going on. And there's a huge amount of physical validation, stories, miracles, cosmologies going throughout history that give us a understanding that is fairly rare to have in this realm, an understanding of God, or who God actually is as it's been through history, and how the universe actually functions. And sometimes, as I say, it takes away some of the mystery. Not all of it. I think it's impossible to take away all of the mystery. And so understanding this with your mind is a reason to keep looking deeper to find the energy that produces the understanding. Because the mind, all of this complexity of group souls, the Ra group, the Elohim group, we're in a dimensional shift, everything is shifting. You know, you can get it in your mind, and you can study all of it, and you can say, yes, this is the way it works. And then suddenly, instead of going to the next step, you sit there and you become the superior person, because you're connected with the group that has the right cosmology, the validatable cosmology. And you know what? You've now turned it all into a religion. Because there's only one thing that's important. First, that you make a connection. Actually, the second thing that's important is that you find a way to use the connection, to do something of volitional action that anchors this into the planet in a real way. So, how do you make the connection? Well, for many people, every time we do this call, there's a connection being made. Now, they say something, and I ask all kinds of questions, being very curious. Now, I should just say something for someone that's listening for the first time. And I'm just keeping this short, because everyone hears it over and over again, but I assume always that there's someone tuning in that doesn't even know what they're listening to. So, you know, for the past, I'm an author of a book. I wrote a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and it was my first entree into studying the cosmologies of the other realms. And I became very convinced that David Wilcock was, in fact, Edgar Cayce, and that who was speaking through him was very wise, and they explained who they were, and I could recognize their wisdom, but when they explained who they were, I couldn't validate it directly, but intuitively it made a lot of sense. And then, of course, while I was writing the book, I had two personal relationships in a row that had a voice start talking to me through these people that identified itself as the Council of Elohim. And the Elohim, in my questions, described themselves as another group soul. And I asked many of the questions concerning the book I was writing, and they answered exactly the same as was coming through the book. So I started to get the idea that maybe all this cosmology of group souls and dimensional shifts and end of cycles had something to it, because put yourself in my position. It's an extraordinary experience to have three people all coming forth with the same cosmology, and it's almost like the conversation ends with one and gets picked up with the other. And so, in this process of having these conversations, I started to recognize energies that were present when I was communicating and asking questions. And I paid very close attention to those energies. And it took me a while to figure this out, but the energies that were present were connected to the voice that was talking to me. And I asked many questions about that. And they said, yes, that was them present. And so I kept experimenting, and it was very, very consistent. And they told me they were tracking me, that I was doing something, that I figured out how to do something that was fairly unusual in this realm, which was not just to channel them or have them speak through somebody, but to actually be a bridge from their energy into the physical world. And then I learned that they were group souls with millions of individual souls. Remember, I was talking about like Coca-Cola is the end result. But behind it, there's, I don't know if there's a million, but there's certainly 50 to 100,000 or more people that are all responsible for the cans of Coca-Cola that show up everywhere. So now I'm learning there's millions of soul beings, energies, that are all responsible for this energy that we call God. And they operate as a conglomerate and as a team. And the way they describe it is that they do become one. They start out of oneness. So there essentially is one source. So we're not saying that there's a million gods, but we're saying that there's one source of energy that at its subdivisions turns into millions of source energies, and all those first millions act as I'm using the Coca-Cola factory. Well, they act as the God factory, I guess, would be a way to say it, keeping the analogy. So they have different subsections. This one does this, that one does that. And they're pure energy. And as pure energy, they come from the place where time almost stops. And they can ride the energies into this realm. And so when we're on this line, everyone listening has that potential to have that energy in your space and recruit part of this team, this factory, this God factory, that's a good name for a book, the God factory, to manifest as an energetic presence in your own physical space. So, obviously, you can see how an energetic presence in your physical space, if somebody has that and they're experiencing that, they don't know there's a factory behind it, so to speak. They don't need to know that. They just can be in the experience of, I feel an energy in my space that's uplifting me. It seems to be aware of me, and it stops there. And this idea of the God factory is something that if you just said it, I mean, why should you believe it's true? Why should that be true more than anything else? So in this particular circumstance, someone would have to study my material and based on the material to say, yes, maybe Wynn's got it right. Maybe it does work that way. Because otherwise, there has to be some evidence. There has to be some way of validating it. And of course, in the material, it goes extensively into history, past episodes, how they manifested in the past, the clues they left, because they have left lots and lots of clues. And if no one points the clues out to you, you'll miss it. But when you start looking at the clues, you can see that there's an intentional intent to leave things that you can discover so that you'll say, it may be true, maybe this is real. And for example, they'll say something through a channeling of Edgar Casey's, and then they'll make David Wilcock fulfill a prophecy, or they'll make a little statement through Carla Ruckert, and then what they said through Carla Ruckert will be cross-referenced by someone else. So if one was going to be a scholar, one could do a huge cross-referencing of all these clues. And if you do, which is what I did, you'll have to come to the conclusion that this has got to be real. And if you read The Reincarnation of Edgar Casey, I worked very hard to put those clues together in a fairly scholarly way, which is not my normal way of being, but I realized that I'm presenting a case to people that they're going to have to validate for themselves. So There's lots and lots of clues there, and there's lots and lots of clues all around this whole circumstance. So that's why you need to study it, because that's what gives you a reason to have faith. And faith, based on clues, not based, well, not to say that faith that comes from a religion that you are in because you were brought up in it, faith could still lead you into the experience of the energy that could be present around you. And you can call that God or Holy Spirit. And if you have it, then there's no reason to pay attention to what I'm saying. But if you don't have that, if a religion is just a social structure, a place to meet nice people on Sunday, which is okay, realize that that's what it is, and that it's not leading you back to a higher understanding or experience of things. It's just a community, and there's no reason to leave the community because you start having higher understandings. You just be in the community, and it is that for what it is. It's a highly intended community, and it's probably better than a lot of the other kinds of communities that you might come into in your life. So, what is it like to feel this energy in your space? What is the good of it, okay? Why? Well, probably the number one benefit of feeling this energy is that it is unconditional. And once you learn to tune into it, you can do it all the time. And now you have a source of what we all wish we had, is unconditional love, that you can stop in a moment and say, okay, and bring that energy in, and no matter what the circumstance, know that you've got a friend, and you've got a companion, an inner companion, and that's a great benefit. What's another benefit? Another benefit is that when you have an intention, you know, intentions, I've said this many times, that it's no matter how many times I say it, it's a hard thing to totally grasp and use. But each of us is a creator in this realm. And when you're creating in this realm, and you start accessing the parts of yourself that are in other realms, it greatly increases the power of your creativeness and what you can actually make happen. And when you have these connections, then whatever you do as an intention, if your intention is high, and particularly of service to other people, you get the help of these group souls, adding to your intention. And so, basically, we all become partners in co-creating transformation, because this realm is in a state of transformation. And each of us is playing a part, our own little part. And if we're just alone and little, we will have a lone and little part, because there's a very limited factor to what one person can do in actually changing this realm. But when you have a team, again, if we talk about the Coca-Cola factory, the God factory, you can actually be a member of the God factory and be on the inner bureaucracy, or it's not the best word to use, the inner team, at the same time you're in a body. And so now you are here. What's the way that Jesus said it? He said, I am in this realm, but I'm not of it. So you can now learn to be in both places at once. You're in the God factory, and you're in this realm. And so once you're in the God factory, your level of responsibility increases dramatically, because now you co-create and share not just your intentions, but the intentions of these group soul energies, which, as I read it, is they are intended to try to help lift the vibration of this realm, and they need humans to help be partners in it, because they can't do it from where they're at. They need to connect with us. So making this connection, if it's real for you and you see the big picture, really increases your level of responsibility for being alive and for making a contribution. And you can't do this out of your mind. You've got to make the connection. And then you have to hold the connection. The way it starts at first is you make the connection and you go back to your old patterns. And then you make the connection and you go back to the old patterns. And as most of us realize, it's not easy to get over our habit patterns of the way we operate. Even when we have that experience of spirit being present with us, even when you feel that energy and you say, I'm going to hold that energy, you go back to your old patterns and then you feel empty, ineffective, lonely, lost, unworthy. And then you go back to have an experience and feel that energy with you. And then you go back again. And one teacher I had used to call this the theory of reversibility, that when you are growing, you grow 2 steps forward and 1 step back. But it's kind of like a sine wave that's going higher. You keep going back, and then you go up, and then you go back, but the ups get higher and the lows get lower. Not lower, less low. So it's going up and up and up. So this is why it's very important to understand this process, because if you need patience. Everyone wants everything now, and it doesn't seem to work that way. It seems to work. You go up, you go down, you go up, you go down. And most people may not even be going on the sine wave. They're just going in their own reality system box, which means they go up and they're down, up and down, but there's no upward motion to it. It just goes back and forth in the same amplitudes up and down. But once you get a reference point for spirit or for higher energies or other dimensions, and you keep referring back to that reference point, then the ups do get higher and the downs get higher, and it becomes like an escalating sine wave that eventually levels out. And of course, as you're in this process, the responsibility for service to others becomes greatly enhanced, because the game changes. At the lower level of game, it's like, I need a nice life, I need a nice house, I want to get married, I want to have kids, I want to do all, we have all these human goals. But at a certain point, when you realize that you have the power through you to change or help or contribute or to be a reference point for this energy in this realm, and somebody changes. You can't just think it. You have to experience it in reality, that I did this and somebody changed your life because of me. And, wow, I didn't know I could change lives. I didn't know I could do this. Of course, you didn't actually do it. It happened in spite of yourself. But if you weren't there, it wouldn't have happened. If you didn't say that word, it wouldn't have occurred. If you didn't extend that kindness, it wouldn't have happened. So you took some action to transform someone else. And later on, you discovered that that happened. And now you go into a state of contemplation. Say, how did I do that? I didn't feel great that day. And yet, you did it. Something happened that you contributed to someone else. And now you say, how can I do that again? And what did it mean to do that? And as I see it, it's a matter of becoming transparent and realizing that every moment, you never know, there's opportunities. And oftentimes people don't take the opportunities that are in front of them to make a difference. They don't want to get involved. They're afraid that they might get rejected. They're afraid that somebody will depend on them all the time and be dumping on them and calling them all week, and then they won't be able to get away from them. So I don't want to get involved. That person is too screwed up. And, of course, those are all possibilities. So they're reasonable possibilities. But because those are possibilities, and because we've let and allowed that to happen to us, we miss the real opportunities to take action when it can totally make a difference. And that's where you need to be really, really sharp, to pay attention very closely and seize the moment when that's there. It would be like, one way of looking at it or thinking about it is, if you're thinking you would love to have a relationship, a loving relationship with someone, and you meet somebody, and there's this beautiful energy present, and you know they like you. And at that moment, if you say the right thing, you can cement the energy and perhaps have the beginning of that relationship that you always wanted. And oftentimes, you'll think, I'll come back to this. I'll just phone them up. I mean, if I do this, this is really going to be a commitment. I'm going to be really committed because I'm in the energy now, and if I say it, this is going to be the real thing. And so instead of taking the real thing, you put it to the side and think it's always going to be there for you, like you think maybe there's something better. Do I want to go for this now? And you lose it. And when you try to go back and recapture that moment or call that person, it's not there. You can't do it. But it was there. And if you took the action in the moment that it was there, doesn't mean that it would happen, but it certainly has a higher possibility of happening than if you put it on the back burner and say, I'm going to get back to it. So that's one of the things I've learned, just to pay very, very close to those energies in the moment. And when the energy is there, to act on it. And that might mean talking about my book to someone, or it might mean who knows what, but it means seizing the moment. And this works not just for personal relationships, it works for businesses, it works for friends, it works for whatever, that when you feel that connection, if you can say something in that moment to anchor it, you stand a much higher chance of making it real than putting it on your back burner and thinking it's going to be there waiting anytime you call, because it's not. And This is how you have to work to make something happen in the world. So, part of this is all about silence, emptiness. In spite of the fact that there's this huge God factory, and there's all these complexities of energies that are working in tandem as teams to keep the universe running, so to speak. The way to connect with this is by shutting up, is by emptying yourself, leaving space. Now, we can do that right on this line. Once you get hooked on the phenomena of having them talk to you, and certainly I did for a while. I mean, it's like, okay, let's have a channeling. Well, let's ask these questions. Let's ask those. It was just fascinating trying to say to myself, is this real? Is this real? Is this real? But ultimately, having them talk to you doesn't approach the power of the solace of having them energetically connect to you. And they tell me, and I believe it's true, that they're paying attention to you on this line. I said that earlier. And that those of you that trust it can empty yourself. And if they're going to connect, it's not a connection that happens like, hello, how are you? And how are you? And shaking hands. It's suddenly a blending of energies where you feel love light in your space. Some of you that are more sensitive can feel these little flashes when you look around you. And you can imagine, this is what they say, and I think this is how it works, that energy is connected through this huge hologram going right now to the beginning of creation, or the top of all the matrices. And once you make the connection, you can hold it. Because those of you that are connecting, we'll do this right now, and you can go through the experience. And we'll do this without any channeling, because you have to know that you don't need a channeled voice to make the connection, to make them your friend, to make them your partner. You just need high intention and to be positively wanting to use this, not as a like, wow, this is an interesting phenomena, but in service to others. So let's take a moment and feel that energy. And when you're in that flow of energy, suddenly you start to sense that you're not your body, that you're far bigger than your body. And think of all the people that are listening to my voice. Can you feel connected to them right now? Once we make the connection, it stays. I don't have to keep talking. In fact, some of you were thinking, when? Shut up, I feel it. I make that energy come in, and you guys are thousands of miles apart. I'm not doing it. I just learned that I can ask and intend, and you can be open, and it will happen. And it's something that I just kept testing and saying, hey, it's really working. And so if it works for me, it can work for you. You may all try, and I suggest you do this relatively soon so that you can remember it. When you wake up tomorrow morning and you're feeling a little cranky and you're feeling a bit out of sorts and it's the morning, take a moment and say, okay, God, okay, high sources, I'm open. I'm open to blend with you. Help me through my day. Help me get up this morning. Help me face those people that give me problems during the day. Make the connection and be quiet and hold the connection for a while and anchor the connection and then go out in the world and do whatever you're going to do, but hold that connection as much as you can through the day. And this is practice. This is like turning your own life into a little monastery, because now you're a walking God source. You're a walking energy that uplifts the realm. And part of you is back in the God factory, helping to manufacture this and make the connection. And the other part is being a human, just doing whatever you do every day. And you're having synchronicities, you're having things happen because you're operating in both levels. So, tomorrow morning, or sometime tomorrow, stop during the course of the day. Just stop and ask. Now, I've learned to distinguish between these energies in the God factory. And of course, there's the Elohim energy, and there's the Ra energy, and they're both working with this group, and you can feel them both together and not try to separate them. You don't need to, because it is all one. But if you were trying to distinguish, you would find the Ra energy is very close in and almost inside you, maybe is inside you. So close that it can be you. You're it. The Elohim energy, it's out in your periphery. You can feel it far, far away from you, beaming in and feeling how they feel in your space. When you really make the connection, what you'll realize is that before you came into this call, no matter what was happening to you, no matter what your thoughts and emotions were, no matter how pent up you were, or uptight, or anxious, or mad, or hurt, suddenly you made this connection, and it just goes away. It's like you're new, a new person. And, of course, this is where you'll hold that energy for so long, and then you'll go back into the old patterns, and this is where you go back and forth, back and forth. That's why this is important, what we're doing on these Monday calls, because it's helping to give you a repeating reference point. And are you there, Terry?
Yes, I am.
here I am talking and talking and talking.
Well, that's okay. I'm kind of tired because I was working on our new book last night so late.
Terry is sitting in McDonald's, and she is the person that's been acting as a voice for these energies that we're experiencing. And oftentimes she does a little channeling on this call, and sounds like she's tired today. So tell you about one of the programs we've had, which is an experimental program. It's called Light Body Activation. And this program was not my idea. It was their idea. And it was where we would have, they would give us messages, activations that you could play. They're like 15 minutes long. And you would get a new one every 2 weeks. And then we have a workshop where you can ask them questions. And they suggested to charge a monthly subscription, which would help support our work. So if anyone's interested, if you want to send an email to, write this down, lightbodyintro@getresponse.com. Lightbodyintro, this should work. You'll get an email back immediately that describes this program and also has links to some audio files of the actual channelings and the first activation and the workshop we held where we discussed it with them. And you'll find it fascinating to listen to and uplifting, and you can use it just as it is without feeling you have to join the program. And if you're compelled to join the program, then the follow-up instructions are indicated in the email you'll receive. So Light Body Intro, one word, at getresponse.com. Also, our new book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim, is actually up, and maybe by tomorrow I registered the URL, Elohim Q&A, and you can download that book. But that, don't do it tomorrow, because I haven't, the URL was not ready tonight yet, but it should be ready to, maybe later tonight or tomorrow morning, ElohimQ&A.com, and is spelled out, ElohimQ&A.com, and the book is listed for $16, and if you put the discount code Happy New Year in there, it reduces the price $5 immediately. And this is a really important book because it's the current communications from what I believe at this point is the creative energy in this realm, explaining many of the things that you might wish that you understood and knew. Plus, by reading their words, it helps you make a connection with them. So we also have the website, messageaday.net, where you can sign up for free for a daily message from the Elohim group and the Ra group. And people that are signed up in this seem to be getting great results. And it's a great way of keeping a connection going with the energy. So on that note, let me just say we have our Matthew channeling this Wednesday, 218-862-1115, pin 88261, and you can send questions in. And on that note, we will say goodbye to BBS, and we'll continue on the phone line. Thank you, Seth, and we'll talk to you later.
Press. This conference is no longer being recorded.
Oh, good. It sounded like the whole thing recorded.
All callers are unmuted. There are 14 participants in the conference.